The word today is judgment. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. The Bible teaches that all people will have to stand before God and give an account of their life. This may cause you some discomfort if you have led a wicked life, but it is not too late to repent, even now. Here to lead us further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Judgment.
Some people who are Christians never want to discuss the difficult topics, the parts of the gospel and of the Bible which others might not like to hear, things about behaviors which are sins, the fact that there is going to be a last judgment. And in fact, today we are going to talk about the last judgment because this is part of the teachings of the scriptures, and whether it's popular or not, it's something that needs to be dealt with. It needs to be understood. And in fact, if you spend some time in the Gospels reading the words of Jesus, you will find that he has a lot to say about judgment. It's been said that one-third of everything that Jesus said was about money. Well, I'll bet that that ratio is pretty close when you talk about Jesus' discussion of the judgment and about warnings of being cut off and cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are many, many warnings, especially in the New Testament, about judgment and the potential for damnation to hell. So we need to deal with it. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, there was a vision that was seen by John the Apostle. And it goes like this: "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." This is what is known in many Christian circles as the Great White Throne Judgment. It is the final judgment. It is the event that is referenced in accounts such as Jesus' discussion of the separation of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, where he talks about the end. It is not comfortable to be told that your deeds are going to be recounted. And two times here it says that everyone is going to be judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. It's obvious that those books are God's record. In other words, he knows precisely what you've done, and there's no escaping it. Ultimately, you will be held accountable, whether you like it or not. Jesus gives the same impression in these stories that he tells about a king who goes away for an extended period of time, and then when he returns, the servants are held accountable for what they have done in the interim. I use an analogy in order to show why God judges people. There's oftentimes individuals with little faith, or they're agnostics, they're skeptics. Many of these people fancy themselves to be terrifically generous and kind. And there's a classic statement that's made out of disbelief. It goes something like this: "I think God will save everybody." Or a variant of it is, "I can't believe in a God who would put people in hell." You've heard individuals talk like this. Well, frankly, it's a lot of arrogance and pride coming out, And it also shows they have very little understanding of the scriptures at all. And I'm going to give you an analogy to explain why it is perfectly legitimate for God to judge humans. I call it the perverted babysitter analogy. Imagine for a moment that you and your wife are wanting your children to be washed for the evening. You are going to go out and, for whatever reason, need to leave your children in your home. Now, you could ask somebody in the apartment complex, or you could ask somebody who's a stranger in your village or someone in your town to come and watch your children. You don't know anything about this person. But even worse than just inviting a stranger, imagine that there is someone who is advertising themselves as a pervert, as someone who is a molester, as a person who is very confident of their evil and someone who practices this. And they now have taken out an ad that says they want to be a babysitter. Now, it would be absurd for you who want your children protected to be kept safe, secure in your home. It would be sensible, wouldn't it, that you would never dream of letting a person like that come into your home? I mean, would you willingly invite a person who is confident and practicing evil to come near your kids? No way. And in the same sense, why should God allow adamant, atheistic people who are steeped in their hatred of him, why should he invite them into his home? He won't. God is not going to tolerate sin. He's not going to put up with evil and corruption. This is the thing that I think most people forget, is that God is not just kind and compassionate, but he is also powerful and just, and he will judge sin. Hence, analogies like the Great White Throne Judgment. We have to talk about the two books for a moment. The books, the accounts of our deeds, notice that those are used to judge the people. But there's a second book that's mentioned, and this is pretty critical. This book is called the Book of Life. What is that book, and how do you get your name in that book? How do you get confidence that you're going to make it through the analysis of God's judgment and be forgiven and redeemed? Well, in Revelation chapter 21, the very next chapter, there is a reference to the glory and beauty of heaven. It's seen as the New Jerusalem. It's an image of this new home of righteousness. And as it discusses in verse 27 of Revelation 21, it says, "Nothing impure will ever enter it," that is, the New Jerusalem, "nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." It's referring to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. How do you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's very clear. It's very simple. You put your faith and your hope in him. You turn the reins of your life, the control of your life, over to the Son of God. You repent of your sin. You begin to live for Christ's glory and not your own. That's what it takes. It calls for surrender and calling Jesus your Lord. When you have done that, your name will be put in heaven's appointment book. There is something else that's interesting too, and that is that our sin is completely forgiven, and that now our deeds reflect the glory of God. We are now sober, not drunkards. We're now morally chaste and decent and not evil and corrupt. You see, in heaven, only the righteous will dwell there. And heaven is going to be very exclusive. This is something that people don't understand, is that God is going to ultimately have his holiness and his justice prevail. In the meantime, as you wait for heaven, the goal then is to produce fruit in keeping with righteousness, as the New Testament says. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 5, it urges us to have the fruit of the Spirit versus the evil deeds of the flesh. You know, in one sense, we should invite the judgment of God. We should long for it. We should ask God prayerfully to send it. The sooner the better. That sounds kind of strange in one sense. Sort of like a person who is working a job, why would we invite the review? Why would we want to have an assessment done? Well, it's because we're confident, not in ourselves, but in the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus. We have our sins covered. We're forgiven. We're not going to be condemned by the mistakes we've made in the past. This is why the invitation to come to Jesus Christ is so precious. If you've messed up, if you've blown it in life, there is still an opportunity. There is a chance to repent. And this is always stressed, always emphasized in the gospel of Jesus. It's time to conduct a sober analysis of your life. To ask yourself honestly, have I been missing the boat? Have I not received the Lord Jesus? If so, it's time to repent. Repent means to make an about face, to turn the other direction, to do the opposite. God does not want to cast you into damnation. God does not want to see his people suffering, but he wants you to receive the Lord Jesus. Well, know for sure, you're going to stand before God's judgment, and your deeds will be recounted. Perhaps it's time to repent of what you've done wrong and to plead for God for mercy in Jesus' name. The time to do that is not later. The time to do it is now, while you still can.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the free booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Spirit. The birth of the church was a miraculous event when God sent the Holy Spirit to those first disciples, and their lives were changed forever. That same life-changing power is available today to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.